Have you noticed anything different going on in the economy? From YouTubers to influencers to Etsy entrepreneurs, there are a lot of ways to make fortunes online today that barely existed yesterday. Here to tell the story of these hustlers and how you can join their ranks is Chris Guillebeau, author of the new book, Gonzo Capitalism: How to Make Money in an Economy That Hates You. Chris has written bestsellers like The $100 Startup and The Happiness of Pursuit, and he hosts the popular podcast Side Hustle School. Chris joins us now with five key insights from his book.
Hey there, this is Chris Guillebeau. I'm the author of books including The $100 Startup and The Happiness of Pursuit. Today I'm here for my new book, Gonzo Capitalism: How to Make Money in an Economy That Hates You. I really enjoyed working on this book. I've spent most of the past 2 years on it, and I'm going to share five key insights with you. So let's just jump right in. Insight number one, we are living in the age of peak marketplace. Peak marketplace. What do I mean by that? Well, every skill, talent, hobby, or source of knowledge can now be monetized. Decentralized platforms allow you to go to market immediately without banks or other gatekeepers. So I've been selling online. I've been immersed in this world one way or another for more than 25 years now, but I have to say I have never seen anything like this. So in the book, I have a chapter on playing blockchain video games for real money. I really got into it, spent a lot of time and money on it. I also spent time learning about prediction markets where you can bet on elections, and I even bet on Britney Spears at one point. I learned a lot about the creator economy, which is just astounding, and so much more. So in short, there's never been a time where so much is possible for so many people. And just to tell you one of my favorite stories in the book, it's about an Australian guy named Jakey Bohm. Now, Jakey works the night shift, but he actually tries to sleep through it. It's kind of a weird thing. Specifically, Jakey earns a lot of money, up to $50,000 a month, as a sleepfluencer. Sleepfluencer, like an influencer, but sleeping. So he gets paid to quote-unquote sleep through the night while streaming on TikTok. And viewers can pay to wake him up with all sorts of loud noises and disturbances. He does this 8 hours a day, and you probably think it sounds crazy. What actually is crazy, but keep in mind, he could always sleep another 8 hours a day and keep earning that income. So this is just one of the many stories of peak marketplace. It's a recurring theme throughout the book. New stories, you know, every page or two, just because it's never been like this. And I think that's exciting. So insight number two, just like the Industrial Revolution changed history forever, so too will the money revolution. The money revolution. Now, I begin the book with two quotes. And the first quote is from René Girard. It says, "Human desire is not an autonomous process, but a collective one. We want things because other people want them." And the second quote is from Nicki Minaj. "If I'm fake, I ain't notice because my money ain't. If I'm fake, I ain't notice because my money ain't." So if enough people suddenly decide something is worth more or less than its current value, then suddenly it is. Right? Like, it doesn't have to make logical or objective sense. In a lot of ways, even money itself is just a matter of perceived value. Now, people have been talking about this in different ways for years, but this concept got a lot of attention during the beginning of the pandemic economy, where NFTs were selling for millions of dollars, and the government just kept printing money, trillions of dollars, huge amounts of money. But even if some of those early examples seem silly, there was a transformative effect that took hold. Now, of course, in lots of other ways, money is very real. Like, it's easy to say money isn't real, but you actually need it to survive in the modern world. So among many others, there's a story about a teacher who now has millions of followers from an account she started during those first few days of lockdown when her school was closed. So it's completely transformed her life. This was just a hobby, little passion project. But now it's kind of, you know, changed the whole trajectory of her life. It's making a ton of money, and it's scaled up very quickly, which is something that's new. You know, projects used to take a lot longer to scale. Now, especially for some creators on some accounts, they can scale very fast. So the central question of the book is, what's in it for you? Like, how can you capitalize on the money revolution? What can you do about it? It's not just an academic research model. What can you do about it for yourself? And that leads to insight number three. You can now obtain direct investment for your ideas. Or another way to say it is, ideas have currency. So in my work for a long time now, I've always tried to stress the role of individuals as opposed to companies or startups or groups. And I've also tried to provide an alternative to the traditional startup model of seeking investment, because a lot of business ideas don't require any investment at all. And that's still true. Like, it's always been true. It's still true. But what's different is that if you are seeking outside investment, you don't need to go to the bank with your hat in hand, or you don't even need to go on Shark Tank. So a couple of examples here. In the book, I tell the story of Alex Mazmej. He's a young guy from France who wanted to move to San Francisco. And he wasn't famous. He wasn't that known, but he received more than $20,000 from direct investors in exchange for a share of his future profits. Now, this practice has been happening with professional athletes for a while, or musicians who sell a percentage of their catalog. But what's new and different and exciting, is that ordinary people can now do this. So I also told the story of Laura Mayer, who was employee number one at a big podcast studio in its early days, but then grew disillusioned as she missed out on the equity that many of her colleagues received. She thought that was unfair, so she started a show of her own titled Shameless Acquisition Target, which actually led to her getting a new job and also a book deal. It's a pretty crazy story. And something I heard during the research for the book that stayed with me ever since, I heard this quote, "It's easier to get money for your idea now than it is to find good ideas to invest in." So it's better to be that person with the idea who might need some money to get it started than to be the investor, just because there are so many opportunities. So the tables have turned. Ideas have currency. Insight number four, capitalism isn't ending. It's just rebranding. Now, before I had the title for the book, I wanted to understand what seemed like a contradiction or at least a complexity. A lot of my readers, people have been with me for a long time, they said they were opposed to capitalism. And I was a little confused because I'm like, that's the very thing I've been writing about and podcasting about for years. Like, I have a daily podcast telling stories of people making money without quitting their jobs. Some of my books are about entrepreneurship. And people would say, oh yeah, I like your books, but I don't like capitalism. And so I really wanted to understand this more. There's a lot to it. I go into it in some detail in the book. But what I came to believe is that a lot of people just define capitalism differently now. And the twist is that even as they are skeptical of the system, they have, you know, very valid critiques, many of them are also fully in favor of using it for their benefit. So that's a little bit of the contradiction, or it's just the interesting point. So give you a quick example, a 29-year-old from San Francisco named Demi Skipper conducted a very public barter experiment. And she started with a hairpin and she traded it for something and then traded that for something and eventually traded all the way up to a car and a house and then started doing it all over again for like a second round. So some people have done versions of this in the past, but what was different about Demi is she took advantage of modern networks, which made her this viral sensation. You know, she became famous, especially among young people, especially among people interested in the barter economy. And at one point, she was being interviewed by The Guardian, and she said, "I love that this project is like an FU to capitalism." And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But now she runs ads on Instagram for corporate sponsors who are paying her real money, you know, not just like items that she can then trade. And so it's easy to be critical of a story like that. But I think what's more interesting is to recognize how these inherent contradictions have kind of been absorbed into a broader definition of capitalism, or late stage capitalism, as it's sometimes called, usually in a negative or critical context. And it's like getting ahead and making money from sponsors or advertising is no longer seen as selling out the way it used to be. And in fact, it's often the goal. There's a phrase for it, get the bag, like get the bag of money, get it for yourself. You know, again, I want to write for individuals, not startups or companies. And my mission is to help people understand that there are alternatives. So the way capitalism has been remixed or rebranded is really fascinating. And that leads us to insight number five. The rules of personal finance desperately need an update. Now, over the years, the personal finance industry, I do think it is a real industry, it has changed very little, which has been frustrating. And what happens is that a few people usually come along with a new book or a new perspective. They're offering stylistic updates, but they're usually saying mostly the same things as everyone else. And I think this is not only frustrating, it's also misleading, because the stock market, for example, hasn't been around that long. So when people talk about historical data, they're actually referring to a short time period in which there's no guarantee that things will just continue the way they have before. Especially in the time of gonzo capitalism, the money revolution, peak marketplace, and so on, I believe we need to think differently. And I think you need to position yourself for the world of the future, not the past. So in the book, I offer a number of contrarian suggestions that will no doubt be popular with some people and controversial with others, and that's okay. For example, I encourage you to buy what makes you happy, like buy stuff and experiences. You don't have to downsize to a set number of items. You don't have to be a complete minimalist if that doesn't make you happy. In fact, you're not a bad person if you want to buy a new couch, which is kind of, you know, revelatory for some people, but it's because there's so much rhetoric about buying experiences and not stuff these days. And again, I think you should do what makes you happy. Number two, I think you should worry less about debt. And this is something that my perspective has changed on in recent years. Just seeing how governments and big companies don't seem to worry about debt. A lot of them have permanent debt. So why shouldn't you? Or why should you at least perhaps worry less about it? So there's a lot of details about that in the book. And then third, learn to take asymmetrical risks. An asymmetrical risk is where the upside, if something goes well, is much greater than the downside if it doesn't. And you can actually structure your life around taking asymmetrical risks. It's a lot of fun. And like I said, if something doesn't work out, well, that's okay, right? Because you're going to try something new and take a different approach. So as I said, not all these suggestions are going to be for everyone, especially when it comes to the new rules of money. But I really want to help people think differently and just kind of consider, like, what can I do right now to improve my situation? How can I adapt to this new world and, in fact, build the world that I want? Like, what's the world that you want to see for yourself, and what can you do to get closer to that? So that, for me, is what it's all about, just helping all of us, including me, understand that we can do something good for ourselves and help others at the same time. Thanks so much for listening to this. I'd love to connect more. I'm doing a 16-city book tour. Love to see you somewhere on the road. And of course, most of all, hope you enjoy Gonzo Capitalism.
Thank you, Chris. That was 5 big ideas from Gonzo Capitalism: How to Make Money in an Economy That Hates You, by Chris Guillebeau. I'm Caleb Bissinger. Thanks for listening.